The World's Darkest Hour, Part 2. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 398, since January 20th, 2017. Day 765, since January the 1st, 2016. Honoring and remembering God, Jesus Christ, and their servant Billy Graham by preaching an adaptation of one of his powerful messages titled The World's Darkest Hour. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 39. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for allowing us to see this day, a day that we have never seen before, and a day that we shall never see again. So, Holy Father God, help us to live in it wisely and help us to live in it in a good fashion and manner. Particularly those of us who name the name of Christ. We thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your mercy, your love and grace. We thank you that comes through him. We thank you for your Holy Spirit and your holy word, and for all of the millions and manifold blessings you've bestowed upon us down through our lives and years. And Holy Father God, even though the devil is attacking, even though there are problems on the left and the right, we thank you for granting us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit for those of us who truly know your Savior, to stand even today, in my case, nearly 40 years of standing with you and being your disciple and your servant. And what a privilege it is. And so, Lord, fill us afresh and anew with the fullness, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit, because we cannot function without your unction. And Lord God in heaven, we pray that you would rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and Sanballat and Tobias and Demas, Lord, from us today. Bind these demonic spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that your Holy Spirit would flow freely, your Holy Word would flow freely, your gospel would flow freely. And in the words of your servant Billy Graham, that the preacher would have liberty to preach and to enjoy the built-in power of the gospel. And Lord, we pray that that soul that is near as hell would truly be saved today. We cast our care upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, the last 24 hours in the life of Christ, Dr. Billy Graham said, were the darkest in history, the darkest hours in history. Yet it was the darkness before the dawn. I believe that history repeats itself, and when the world comes to that moment of despair, that moment when it is about to blow itself apart, that moment when it seems there is no solution, at that moment the sun will rise. The kingdom of God shall come, because we have the promise in Holy Scripture that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of the Living God, is coming back to this earth again. Amen, somebody. He is going to set up his kingdom, and then shall the prayer that he taught us will be answered. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen, somebody. But before the triumph, before the crown, before the kingdom, before the victory and the shout, there had to come the suffering. And this is the part, and I'm adding this, that we don't like. But you know, before the crown must come the cross. Amen, somebody. And God wants you to bear your cross. And we have too many Christians, many, many Christians who don't want to bear a cross. The only cross they want to bear is a cross around their neck, a gold cross. But just remember, Jesus Christ did not die on a golden cross. And may I just add this, if you do not mind, people who are hawking products on television, people who are selling things on television, are representing causes that are not connected to Christ, or not to be wearing, even if they're Christians, or not to be wearing the cross. You're trying to sneak Jesus in there to help you sell a product, and that's not good. We should not do that. Even if you wear a cross every day, if you're hawking a product, if you are selling something on television or otherwise where people can see you, you ought not be wearing the cross. You're trying to sneak Jesus into merchandising, and that's not good. So you need to stop that. That's free. That has nothing to do with Billy Graham's message. Has nothing to do with this message at all. I just was led to say that to you people trying to use Jesus to validate your product. Excuse me. And by the way, some of the worst business people in the world are so-called Christians. So that's free as well. Excuse me. Don't use Jesus to sell your stuff. Anyway, back to Dr. Graham's message. He would have never said that, but I will. Before you can share in Christ's victory, my beloved, before you can have a new life here and now, before you can go to heaven, before you can claim the promise that we shall someday reign with Christ, you too must come to that same cross. You've got to face the cross. You've got to deal with the cross of Christ. You too must come in simple faith and stand at the foot of the cross, where there is plenty of room for you, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the Savior, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. who was willing to go to the cross for you and for me. Look at Jesus on the night before he died. He has had the Last Supper with the disciples in the upper room, and they have gone now to the Mount of Olives. Now they are in the garden that is called Gethsemane. And Jesus leaves eight of his disciples, if you will, on the outskirts of the garden. And he takes three with him, Peter, James, and John. He goes a little further into the garden and he tells these three disciples to watch and pray. It's one thing when your periphery disciples don't stand with you, but when your close ones that you have given a position to around you, when your family won't pray with you and pray for you, when those who are the closest to you, you've been through thick and thin, you walked on the water together, and here I am in my darkest hour, and I'm adding this to Billy Graham's message. Here I am in my darkest hour, my lowest moment, and I brought you with me. I gave you the privilege to see what's going on right before I do the greatest thing in the history of the world. In my three Ace Boone Coons, my three main men, as my cousin used to call me, my main man back in the 60s, you won't watch with me. You won't pray with me. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. When they're closest to you and you're going through your darkest hour, or if you're on a mountaintop experience and your closest three won't hang with you, people that you've given positions to and titles to support you and to help you, you give them the privilege to go along with you and they quit on you, that's a very painful experience. He was abandoned by everybody. Jesus. Then he goes about a stone's throw farther along and falls prostrate on the ground and begins the agonizing prayer. Before he was finished, the Bible says he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. What agony. How Christ must have prayed that night. What kind of praying is this when blood begins to form on your forehead? Many times in Scripture you find Christ praying all night. If Jesus Christ had to pray all night, what about us today? Amen, somebody. With our racism, our bigotry, with our political and cultural division, with the problem of crime getting worse and worse with every passing day, with all the social problems that we face in the world, the personal problems and the problem of sin, we are not praying. We are playing, and I'm adding that part, the playing part. We are not calling upon God. We give lip service to God, but our hearts are far from Him. And that's not only how it was back then when Billy Graham was preaching this message many years ago. It is that way today. There are Christians living in America, and Christian influence has been felt in this country, and we thank God for that. But we today are a heathen nation, a pagan nation. We are away from God. We have beautiful churches, but our hearts are far from God, and we all know it. We are not spending time in prayer. We are living today in the blackest, darkest hour in history since the last 24 hours of the life of Christ. We are living on the brink of hell itself, the brink of annihilation. And we are not praying, we are playing, we are not calling upon God as we should. What strength would God give us? What changes would be wrought if we pray in our dark hour, like Jesus prayed in the world's darkest hour in history? So God is speaking to us today about many things through this old message from the prophet and the evangelist, Dr. Billy Graham. Where are you today, dear Christian friend? Are you praying or are you playing? Most of us are playing. And that's just the truth, and we know it. Many people are playing church just like little girls used to play house. And how about you, sinner friend? Are you ready? When everything hits the fan, are you ready to leave this earth with Jesus when he comes back? If not, why not? And if not, why not today? And if you're in that situation where you do not know that if you were to drop dead today, which you could drop dead today, I hope you understand that, you're going to die. You just don't know when. But if you were to drop dead today, where would you go? Heaven with God and Jesus, where God and Jesus want you to be, or to hell to pay for your sins? So, dear friend, if you're with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can be saved today as well. Saved from hell and saved to heaven. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. This is why when you die, your soul has to go to hell. Your body will go to the grave, but your soul will go to hell immediately. For Jesus Christ said himself, as he was a hellfire and brimstone preacher, as was Billy Graham, the greatest evangelist since the Apostle Paul. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is an awful place. Hell is not the place you want to ever go to, because once you go through the gates of hell, there is no return, my friend. There's no purgatory. There's no limbo. There's no in-between. Once you go through the gates of hell, the gates will lock behind you. You will never return. And earth will seem like heaven compared to where you're going. I'm not trying to scare you. Where am I trying to scare you to? Hell number one or hell number two or hell number three? I'm just telling you what God has stated in his word. That's my job. Because of God's love in my heart for you, I'm doing this. We chastise our children, don't we? Why do we do it? Because we love them. We want the best for them. And we know that if they stay the wicked way they are, they're not going to make it. I'm not trying to scare them. I'm trying to love them. God is loving you by sending me by to tell you that if you die without trusting Christ as Savior, you're going to hell. No one is trying to hurt you. No one is trying to scare you. But hell ought to scare anybody, to be quite frank. Now, hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you, straight from Jesus Christ himself. For Jesus Christ himself said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, "that he gave his only begotten Son," he was talking about himself, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And so all you have to do, dear friend, is just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today, to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time. Well, we do have some characters in this world, don't we? Have you seen them on the train? Have you seen them on the plane? Have you seen them on the bus? We have some characters in this world, and we are characters ourselves. We are something else. Other than what we should be. We are sinners, aren't we? We are failures, aren't we? We have failed God. We've disappointed God. We've sinned against God. Whosoever, makes no difference, black or white, red or yellow, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. No matter how ugly we have been in our lives and evil, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all sin. Can somebody say amen in the house of God? If you believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again by the power of God for you, and you want to trust him as your Savior today, do that in your heart and pray with me a simple prayer called the sinner's prayer. Repeat it after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have broken your commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins and help me to truly believe in my heart in you, Lord Jesus. Help me to believe the gospel that you died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. I receive you and your holy gospel. Please save my soul. Please forgive me of all of my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Was shed for me, and now thou leadest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart today on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ladies and gentlemen, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior today, please email me at dw3@GospelLightSociety.com. And let us know, or one of our other emails or platform, wherever you might be. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good. Is my prayer. Let's all stand.